We present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dalton, starring Richard Briers with Terence Alexander, John Glyn Jones, and Julia Lockwood. Episode 1, Look It Up.
Sally, am I late?
No, early. Heavens, what's that enormous book, Roger? Homework?
What?
Well, come in and tell me all about it.
What?
Your case this afternoon. Did you win?
Well, in a way.
Is there more than one way of winning?
Well, what I mean is we didn't actually get our damages, but we didn't have to pay the other side's cost.
Is that what you call winning?
Well, you wouldn't call it losing, would you?
I'd say you held them to a draw. Well, do sit down, Roger, and give us both a drink.
Impossible.
Why?
If I was sitting, I couldn't reach the table.
Honestly, darling, if that's meant to be funny...
It isn't. It's just an example of my impeccable logic.
Is that what you call it?
I'm not the only one. Open the book and see for yourself.
What is it?
Press cuttings.
Darling, this immense tome full of your cases?
Well, not exactly full, but there's hardly any room left on page one. this is the one I mean. That traffic accident case. Now, see what the judge said. Mr. Thursby's argument.
Mr. Thursby's argument, if I have understood it correctly, went something like this. If both cars were stationary before the collision, the accident would not have taken place. Therefore, he argues with some force that at least one of the cars must have been moving. But both drivers deny that they were moving. Therefore, one of them at least is mistaken. Mr. Thursby's logic is impeccable.
And I must therefore go on to decide which of the drivers is mistaken.
Well, which of them was?
Mine, actually, but isn't the point. Mr. Thursby's logic is impeccable, do you see?
Yes, I do see now. In that case, Roger, stand up and give us a drink and then sit down.
Wait a minute. I want you to do the next case. Now, I was defending a dreadful fellow called Sinclair. George Sinclair, your learned counsel, Mr. Thursby.
George Sinclair, your learned counsel, Mr. Thursby, in his plea in mitigation, has said everything that could possibly be said in your favor. Among other things, he has said that you are really two people, one very good and one very bad. As to that, all I can say is that both of you must go to prison. But I shall not impose the maximum sentence, and you have Mr. Thursby to thank for that. The sentence of this court is
that you go to prison for 4 years and 6 months. You see? The maximum sentence was 5 years. I got him 2 years off.
6 months, surely?
With remission, you may serve 3 years.
I wish I could have heard you. Must have taken you hours to say everything in his favor.
About a minute and a half, actually. But now, look at this one. I was on my feet at least 20 minutes.
And in the Court of Appeal, too.
Mr. Thursby, in his admirable argument...
Mr. Thursby, in his admirable argument, has urged us to take the view that it would not be safe to allow this conviction to stand. In thanking Mr. Thursby for his great assistance, I will only say this to him. That he is not very trustful of the court, for having said a thing 3 times, he goes on to repeat it a 4th, when he might have saved himself the trouble of saying it even once if he had looked up.
Bailey and the Lombard Heating Company first.
Roger, why didn't you?
That last bit shouldn't be there. I meant to cut it off.
Well, why didn't you look it up, Roger?
I thought I knew.
But you were wrong.
According to the judge.
Well, he wouldn't be wrong, would he?
He shouldn't be.
Was he?
The judges aren't infallible.
Roger, did you look it up afterwards?
As a matter of fact, I did.
And?
And I was wrong. Well, you can't always be right.
You can always look it up.
It's funny you should say that. So did Grimes. But apart from that trifling lapse, you must admit the rest of them are pretty good. Admirable argument, everything that could possibly be said, impeccable logic.
Marvellous. So how shall we celebrate? Are you going to take me out to dinner, or am I going to open a tin of beans?
Your beans are always so delicious.
Oh, Roger, you're not broke again.
That's not the point.
Isn't it?
Of course not. No. I could always sign the bill. The point is, I want to talk to you very seriously.
Oh, all right, Roger. Talk to me very seriously.
Right. Yes. Well, why don't we have those drinks first?
I'll get them, darling. You go on being serious.
Serious, yes. Sally, do you know why I showed you this book?
Of course. You wanted me to tell you how clever you are.
Exactly. No, not exactly, no. But I wanted you to see that I'm not the same tongue-tied, hopeless young idiot that I was when I was called.
I know you're not. You're 6 months older.
And wiser. And more experienced. So the time has come to look to the future.
All right, Roger. Look to the future. What do you see?
Well, Without being unduly optimistic, I see it something like this. By the time I'm 25, I'll be a leading member of the junior bar. Take silk at 30, on the bench at 40, Lord Chief Justice at 50.
Without being unduly optimistic.
Well, let's say Lord Chief Justice at 50. Wow, I don't want to rush things, do I? That gives me nearly 35 years, and I can do it, Sally. I know I can, with the help of my loyal little wife.
Oh? When does she appear in the Thursday saga?
In a minute now, I hope.
Am I allowed to know who she is?
Sally, can't you see what I'm trying to say?
Everything that can possibly be said.
Please be serious.
I'm sorry. Go on, Roger.
Well, what I'm trying to say is... What I actually mean is... Would you mind being Mrs. Thursday for a few years?
Only for a few years?
Oh, then you'll be Lady Thursday.
Of course. Stupid of me. I thought you meant a few years and then we'd be at each other's throats.
Sally, how could you ever think of such a thing?
It does happen, doesn't it? Judging by the sort of clients you get, it happens all the time. I mean, half your cases are men and women fighting, aren't they?
Only husbands and wives.
Well, isn't that what we're talking about?
We're not talking about us. We're talking about people.
People change. We might, too. All those husbands who knock their wives about, and all those wives who run around with other men, they must have started out being fond of each other, or they wouldn't have got married, would they?
No, I suppose that's reasonable.
It's impeccable logic.
Well, the trouble is that after a few years, they begin to crack under the strain.
The strain of married life.
That's right. No. I mean, the strain of modern life. The whole thing, the stress, the tension, the pressures.
Like the pressure of keeping to your schedule. Silk at 30, bench at 40.
Well, I shan't worry if I fall a year or two behind later on.
As long as you get off to a flying start.
Exactly. And I will, Sally, I will. I'm getting more briefs all the time.
But how many cases have you actually won? There was a man at Henry's party last week boasting that he won all his cases.
He can't have any minute then. Sally, why are we talking about cases I'm asking you to marry me?
I know. And I think it's the most romantic proposal I've ever had.
Do you mean it? Honestly?
Would I mind being Mrs. Thursby for a few years? No one's ever thought of that one before.
But an admirable argument, would you call it?
But not successful.
You're not turning me down.
You'll thank me one day. Think how we'd both hate it if we turned out like those clients of yours.
Sally, I swear I won't muck you about. However big a strain it is. I wish I'd never told you about those husband and wife cases.
It isn't only that. It's your career. You've got to be free to concentrate on it till you've really made that flying start. Till you begin winning your cases.
I wish you wouldn't keep on about winning. Nobody wins them all.
Well, of course not. That wouldn't be justice, would it?
Wouldn't it?
The other side are bound to be in the right sometimes, aren't they? Just win every time you deserve to. Then you'll really be getting somewhere. Now, I'm going to open those beans.
Sally?
Yes?
I'm not giving up.
I hope not.
The very next case I win, I shall take you out to dinner and ask you again. As long as they'll still let me sign the bill. Everything that could possibly be said, impeccable logic, and still didn't win.
Well, morning, Thursby, my dear fella, how are you?
Well, as a matter of fact, Grant, I've got a bit of a problem.
Oh, wrestle with it, my dear fella, wrestle with it. Have you got a copy of McGillivray in here? Oh, it is, a fella. Thank you.
But, Grant, can you spare a minute? There's something I want to ask you.
Look it up, my dear fella, look it up.
But this isn't the sort of thing you can look up, my Grant. You remember I was in the Court of Appeal last week?
Oh, yes, of course I remember, my dear fellow. Of course, and it was very polite to you, weren't they?
But they turned me down all the same.
Well, you didn't look it up, my dear fellow, did you?
That wasn't the only reason.
Wasn't it? Well, never mind, Thursby, never mind. You can't win every time, can you?
But I want to win sometime.
Oh, you will. You will in time. My dear fellow, when I think of all the cases I lost in my young days that I ought to have won...
Yes?
Well, I think of all the cases I won later on that I ought to have lost.
Grant, do you think I lose cases I ought to have won?
Well, of course you do, my dear fellow.
But just evil.
Of course it is.
Then what are the courts for?
Well, they're to stop people knocking each other about. Settle the differences. Well,
fairly and impartial.
Oh, of course, my dear fellow. That's what justice means.
But when I lose a case I ought to have won, it hasn't been decided fairly and impartial.
Oh, yes it has, my dear fellow. Fairly and impartially. But wrongly.
Thanks to me.
Thank you sometimes, thank the other fellow sometimes. But if you've done the best you can, you can't do more, can you?
Except do better next time.
Quite right, my dear fellow, quite right. Then one day, you'll start winning cases you ought to have lost. And wouldn't that be, justice, eh?
Oh, sorry, there's a brief for Mr. Thursday.
Oh, bring it in, Alec, bring it in. Let's hope he wins this one, eh? Then you won't want to win it if you're in the wrong, will you, Thursday? Wouldn't be justice, would it?
Wouldn't it? Would it? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my dear fellow. We're all human beings. We're none of us perfect, so you can't get perfect justice. On the whole, justice looks after itself in spite of us. So you do your best, my dear fellow. Do your best and try to win.
Oh, what is it, Alex?
Husband and wife, cruelty case.
Oh, no, not another one.
Something wrong, sir?
Harry, I'm furious. There are far too many of these cases. They give people the wrong idea of marriage. Oh, hello, Henry.
What people?
Just people.
Morning, Mr. Legro.
Anything for me, Alex?
Not at the moment, sir. I should have a look at it, Mr. Thursby. It's on first thing tomorrow.
I will. Thanks, Alec.
What is it this time, House of Lords?
Wembley Police Court.
Come down after the Court of Appeal. Still, you won't take such a thrashing, will you?
I like that. They said my argument was admirable.
Yes, they always find something polite to say to a pupil.
Henry, you don't think that was the only reason?
Well, they said lots of other things, too, didn't they?
Well, yes. One or two that weren't quite so polite.
And you didn't look it up, my dear fella, did you? Which reminds me of a story I heard.
Henry, please, not now. I want to read this.
Yeah, well, who are you for?
The husband.
Then you're bound to lose.
What?
The husbands always do in police court. If the justices are men, they sympathize with the poor girl. If they're women, they put themselves in their place.
Not in this girl's place if they know what's good for them.
Oh, bashed her about, did he?
Something shocking.
Yeah. You'll deny it, of course.
I can't. The husband admits it.
Good. Heavens, that's awkward. I mean, well, he had intolerable provocation, then.
Well, nothing about it in the brief. I'm afraid you're right. It's a hopeless one. Oh, well, I suppose I'd better look it up this time, just in case there's anything...
Ah, well, then you'll want this. Yes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, be proud to present Will Thumb, dog-eared, coffee-stained, our very own Stone's Justice's Manual.
Oh, thanks. Yes, it's a bit grubby, isn't it?
What memories it has for us all.
Oh, built up, Henry. I'm trying to work.
You see that stain on the cover? I did that myself one fine summer day last year when I was a raw new pupil in these chambers, just as you are now.
Henry, if you stop nattering, I'd be able to concentrate.
Impeccable logic.
Oh, ah, that reminds me. Now, if you should happen to see Sally...
Which I very well may.
Which I sincerely hope you won't. But if you do, don't tell her about this case, will you?
Why not? No,
I have my reasons. Now, for heaven's sake, let me get on with it. Smoke salmon, all right?
Delicious.
In that case, will you marry me?
Would you?
I told you I'd take you over to dinner and ask you again.
You've won a case already. This afternoon?
No, tomorrow morning.
You have won a case tomorrow morning.
Well, I will have, if you want to split hairs.
Yes, I think we'd better split hairs. How do you know you will have?
Because this time I looked it up, and I cannot lose.
Are you sure?
Certain.
Well, how can you be? What is the case?
A little more wine.
No, thank you. What is it, Roger?
Red pepper, lemon, brown bread butter.
I don't want anything, thank you, except to know what this case is.
I'm sorry. Can't tell you that.
Why not? Is it official secret?
No, it's not official.
Do I know any of the people involved?
No, you couldn't possibly.
Well, then why won't you tell me without names?
I'd rather not.
You always have before.
Ah, yes. Before I knew.
Knew what?
What you thought about
it. I don't feel anything about it yet. How could I?
That's right. How could you?
Well, then.
Well, then, will you marry?
I don't see much future in being Mrs. Thursby if she's not going to be told anything, even if it is only for a few years.
And then Lady Thursby for the duration.
You used to say it helps you to talk to me about your cases.
It is. It does. But not this one.
Then just tell me why.
It's a rather unpleasant one.
Obscenity.
No.
Cruelty.
Yes.
To animals.
No.
Children.
No.
Old people.
No, and that's it. You've asked 20 questions.
Roger, it's not another of those beastly husband and wife ones.
Waiter! Waiter!
What did you say before?
I don't know. I'll think of something.
It was the man, I suppose.
But what?
Who was cruel.
Well, yes, in a way.
What way?
All sorts of ways, actually.
Tell me one of them.
Well, he threw her downstairs once.
Oh! Did she break any bones?
No, but it wasn't his fault.
What else?
Oh, there's lots of things. He was always taking a slot at her.
Really? Men are vile.
Only married men. No, I mean, only some married men.
What's the wife asking for?
Well, a separation and maintenance on the grounds of the husband's persistent cruelty during the last 6 months.
Was it persistent?
Oh, yes, almost daily, and twice nightly on Saturdays.
Can she prove it?
No need. He admits it.
Admits? He threw her downstairs deliberately?
Yeah, and all the other things. So you see, he's not altogether vile.
He is. He's a brute.
Ah, but an honest brute. He may be cruel. He may be vicious, but he doesn't tell lies. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. When you're cruel to your wife, will you tell lies?
Yes. I mean, no. No. Sally, that isn't a fair question.
Well, thank goodness you're on the right side for once. Poor woman.
Yeah, rotten point.
But I do see why you're so confident.
Do you?
Well, of course. If he admits it all, she's bound to win, isn't she?
No. He is.
But you said... Roger, you're not appearing for the husband.
You have some more wine.
For that vile brute.
That honest brute.
How could you?
Be reasonable, Sally. I can't pick and choose my briefs. At least I suppose I could in theory, but just for the next few months.
Roger, what have you got up your sleeve? I don't care what they said about you in the appeal court. Even you couldn't make a man as black as this look white. Why do you think you're going to win?
I don't think. I know. This husband and wife are still living together. At least he says so, and I believe him. And that makes all the difference.
Why should it?
Don't ask me why, but it does. I looked it up.
Is that why you're lugging that book around?
Well, I picked you up straight from Chambers, and I'll need it tomorrow, you see. Stone's Justice's Manual, the Police Court Bible. Now, here we are, page 741. If a husband and wife are still living together, the wife cannot get a separation order against him on grounds of cruelty.
But that's ridiculous.
It's the law.
It's not justice.
It's still the law.
I thought they were supposed to be the same thing in this country.
Usually.
But not this time, thanks to you.
It's not my fault.
It is.
So I don't make the law. Parliament does.
But you use it. If you hadn't been so bossy and looked it up, you'd never have known about this absurd technicality. And that poor girl would have won.
I've got to do my best. That's all any of us can do. You cannot get perfect justice.
This is perfect injustice.
I must say it's a bit hard. After all the tough breaks I've had, I did think you'd be pleased I was going to win for once. But if you're not, you're not. Let's forget it.
How can you forget it?
Easily. I'll simply put it out of my mind till I get to the court tomorrow. Ah, oh, thank heaven, here's a waiter with our suite.
I don't think I can eat any more. I'm too upset. I wish you hadn't insisted on telling me about this case.
You, what? You talk about justice.
Mr. Thursby, isn't it?
Yes.
Good morning, I'm Jones.
Ah, Mr. Jones, how do you do?
And this is our client, Mr. Briggs.
The honest brute.
Honest what?
Honest, swarthy, malefant.
What's he on about?
A little joke, Mr. Briggs, at least I think it was.
This is not the kind of case I joke about, Mr. Jones.
Well, Mr. Thursby, what's our chances? Not too bright, are they?
On the contrary, Mr. Jeeves, on the contrary, I'm delighted to inform you that you're bound to win your case.
Come again?
You're bound to win.
Isn't that putting it a little high, Mr. Thursby, don't you think?
As you know, Mr. Jones, I'm a cautious man, and I wouldn't put it too high if the law didn't justify it.
But she's suing me for sloshing her, and I sloshed her.
That's true. True enough. But you are living together.
Oh, yeah.
You're quite sure of that?
Certainly.
I accept your word, Mr. Brick.
Thank you very much. Paid to, ain't you?
As a matter of fact, I'm not, Mr. Briggs, but we won't argue about it. I do accept your word without qualification, without reserve. I must admit that in the whole of my experience, I've never come across the statement of a client which was so palpably true. I congratulate you, Mr. Briggs.
In the whole of your experience, eh? Might I be so bold as to ask how long you've been at this lark?
If you don't mind, Mr. Briggs, we'll deal with your case, not mine. And you want to know, naturally, why I say you win, even though you struck your wife.
Right.
I must confess, Mr. Thursby, that I have wondered myself.
Quite fair to judge myself, but actually, it's perfectly simple. The law says that if a husband and wife are living together, she cannot get a separation order on grounds of cruelty.
Blimey, where does it say that?
In this book.
Well, Mr. Briggs, didn't I say we'd be wise to instruct counsel? Well done, Mr. Thursby. Trust you to spot a point like that.
But hasn't Elsie got a lawyer, too?
Yes, she has.
Well, he ought to have spotted that, too.
Indeed, yes, Mr. Briggs, he ought to. But it does so happen that there are really two classes of lawyer. The one who thinks he knows, and the other who looks it up. Fortunately, it's no credit to me, of course, but I was told at a very early stage that you must take nothing on trust. That you must look everything up, and, well, this is the result.
I'm almost sorry for that girl. Here she is, paying good money to have lawyers, and they let her bring a case against me, which she is bound to lose.
That's exactly it, Mr. Briggs.
Well, I shouldn't be very pleased if I was in her shoes.
Didn't I say to you, Mr. Briggs, that if we went to the right counsel, you never knew what might happen? We solicitors are like the general practitioners in medicine. When we have a knotty problem, we go to the specialist. And may I say, Mr. Thursby, once again, how glad I am that we came to you.
And so am I, son. I wouldn't have believed it. I thought I was for the high jump.
Mr. Briggs, I don't think you should call the learned counsel son.
Well, that's quite all right, Mr. Briggs. You're easily old enough to be my father.
Oh, well, am I?
Well, I hope you'll be proud of him.
I'll say that after the case is over. It sounds too good to be true.
Yes, here's the court. After you, Mr. Thursby. I wonder if you could tell me where the clerk of the court is. I want to have a quick word with him.
I am the clerk.
Oh, my name is Thursby. I'm in Briggs and Briggs. I wonder if you could tell me when it's coming on.
That's the first of the defendants. If it's defended.
Oh, yes, it's defended, all right.
Who are you appearing for, Mr. Thursby?
I'm appearing for the husband.
The husband? You're defending?
Certainly.
You know, he's got two convictions for assaulting his wife, I suppose.
No, he didn't, as a matter of fact, but that doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't make any difference?
Well, the fact is, they were within the last 6 months, you know, and he got fined £5 on the one and £10 on the other.
Dear, oh dear. It isn't really my place to ask you, but if I may say so, Mr. Thursby, you can't have been at this game very long. Are you going to submit that as an persistent cruelty?
Oh dear, no.
But that's what your client's charged with.
I know, but as my grandmother used to say, you'll see it when it comes on table.
I shall be most interested to see it when it comes on table. Now, forgive me now, I must get the court ready, but you'll be on in a few minutes. Briggs and Briggs, your worship, Mr. Nettleton appears for the wife, and Mr. Thursby of counsel appears for the husband.
Thank you. Mr. Nettleton?
May it please you, sir. Before my learned friend opens the case, I have to make a submission to you.
Submission?
Yes, sir, but perhaps I ought to say it is made on the assumption that my learned friend admits that Mr. and Mrs. Briggs are still living together.
Certainly.
I'm very much obliged to my learned friend. Now, sir, in those circumstances, my submission to you is that you have no jurisdiction to grant a separation order, whatever Mrs. Briggs may prove.
What is your authority for that, Mr. Thursby?
If your learned clerk will be good enough to hand you Stone's Justice's Manual at page 741, you will see it stated there.
Well, one moment, Mr. Thursby. Yes, I have it. Page 741, did you say?
That's right, sir.
About hawkers and herrings?
No, sir, no. Husband and wife.
Oh, no, Mr. Thursby. Not page 741.
If you please, sir, I have a copy open in front of me at page 741. It's about husband and wife, and in particular, about separation orders.
Mr. Thursby, I am looking at page 741 myself. Hawkers and herrings. And in particular, among other things, hawking gunpowder and branding barrels filled with cured herrings. Shall I read it out to you? Or perhaps you'd better look at it yourself. Would you mind handing it to me?
Thank you. Hawking gunpowder? Oh, I see what's happened. Yes, I'm so sorry, sir. You have the latest edition. Mine is last year's and they've changed the page numbers. I'll find the page for you now. Now, let me see now. Where are we? It's funny. Where is it? It's gone.
Well, Mr. Thursby, have you found the place now?
Well, yes, sir, I have, but it seems to be different from mine.
Well, it would be. The law's been changed between these two editions.
You mean a wife can get a separation order on grounds of cruelty, even if the parties are living together?
Certainly. They put that right last year.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. And not before it was time. A wretched woman lives with her husband who knocks her about, and she's no means of her own. Do you think it was justice when she couldn't get a separation order in maintenance from a man like that?
It was the law, sir.
Yes, Mr. Thorsby, it was the law. But it isn't the law any longer, I'm glad to say. Have you any further submission to make?
No, sir.
Very well, then. Perhaps Mr. Nettleton will open the case.
May it please the bench, I appear in this case for the wife, Mrs. Briggs, and she is claiming a separation order and maintenance.
Well, it's no more than I expected, Mr. Thursby. I didn't see how I could win. So we haven't lost anything. But you did raise my hopes before the case.
I'm very sorry about that, Mr. Briggs.
That's all right. But next time, son, do me a favour. Look it up in the latest edition.
Drink this, Roger, and you'll feel better.
Sally, I never felt such a fool in my life. Well, not very often.
Anyone might have done it. It's your experience.
Some experience is bought too dear. When I think what it'll cost.
Don't be silly, darling. You did your best, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did my best.
And in the end, justice was done.
Oh, yes, justice was done, all right.
Then you ought to be glad you lost. I am.
As a matter of fact, so am I, in a way.
Well, then, for goodness sake, cheer up.
It's not losing that I mind so much. It's the appalling expense.
What do you mean? What expense?
Pounds! I have to buy a new copy of that blasted book.
But you won't have to pay for it out of your own pocket, surely.
I will. I was so hopping mad on the way home, I threw our old copy out of the carriage window.
Darling, I misjudged you. You will be Lord Chief Justice one day, with the help of your loyal little wife.
Sally.
Whoever she may be. Now, finish your drink while I go and open the beans.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows: Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Henry Blagrove, Terence Alexander, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, the chairman, Ronald Adam, Briggs, Arthur Mullard. Everyone else, Sean Arnold, Douglas Blackwell, and Patrick Tau. Look It Up was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.